516 at Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. So we've had severe weather, or at least rain, for I don't know how many days now, and there is a slight possibility we might have some more tonight, which means maybe we'll have to use the emergency sirens again in Galesburg. Hopefully we won't, but I wanted to talk with Galesburg Fire Chief and Knox County Emergency Management Coordinator Tom Simpkins about that, because I think there's a lot of differences of opinion on what's fact or what's reality versus what's conjecture about how these things are used. So I'm going to try to get those questions answered once and for all. Chief, how are you?
Tom, pretty good. Yeah, I'm hearing here where it's dry.
Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, it looks like there's some storms right now rumbling up with a tornado on the ground near Decatur. But are we... the last thing I saw from the Weather Service, Chief, was that maybe there might be some scattered severe weather tonight. What's the Weather Service saying about this evening? Because, quite frankly, I'm sick of this already.
Yeah, well, we're in the level two.
Categories
is two, slight.
Yeah.
Down south of us, where most of the stuff's supposed to be happening tonight, that means that we have like a less than 5% chance, I think, to really get anything severe. Doesn't mean we might not get a little rain, of course, but...
So what you're saying is I may be able to go home this evening?
Yeah,
I feel like I've spent every waking minute of my life here basically from Saturday on, it seems like, because of severe weather. But
yeah.
is that unusual? It seems like
it's been very unusual.
Hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we get this every spring and even into, November, December now.
Yeah.
Washington tornado, but... yeah, I know what you mean. This has been a really one of the worst ones I remember. Spring. I don't remember a worse one.
Right, and I've been thinking of it long term too, because between that and the sort of the snowstorms we had over the winter and the below zero temperatures for days, and then I think there was even some severe weather days in December, January there too, where there wasn't snow. This has just been, certainly seems bizarre, doesn't it?
It does. It seems like everything's a little, like you said, severe. It's on both ends.
Yeah.
Of it. It's not when it's hot, it's real hot, and when it's cold, it's real cold, and lots of snow, and it's lots of everything.
Maybe not.
Except for mediocrity.
Right. That's very true. I'm hoping that this will all mean that maybe this winter will just be sunny and 45 all winter, and we won't get any snow.
You always hope.
Yeah, one can dream, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the snow, but I digress. The tornado, and that's probably where I'm about to go wrong right away.
You already did it, Will.
They're not tornado sirens, are they?
Well, it's called the outdoor weather warning system and siren. And for years, people call it the tornado siren. Shoot, I call it that too sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's really meant to focus on people that are outdoors. And that's how the system was designed. And we have 13 sirens in Galesburg. If we wanted everybody to be alerted inside the house, we'd have to probably have one on every other block, which would take a lot more than 13. And, we just can't afford to do that. But that's how the system works. And, the education along with that is if you hear the siren outside, it's supposed to alert you to come inside and turn on WGIL or weather radio or something. And find out what's going on.
Really, just WGIL.
That's
a good point, because it's really just meant that if you're outside, you need to seek shelter and stay safe, right?
Yeah, and the other side of it is, haven't even thought about this in years, but when I was a kid, a lot of these sirens, we had the air raid. We called them air raid sirens because that's what they taught us at school. If we have an air raid, I mean, this is back in the 60s, and the whole Bay of Pigs thing.
Yeah, sure.
But... so we really want you to find out, because it may be that we have a toxic cloud that may be a train wreck happening and it's coming downtown Galesburg. So we really want you to get the direction that goes along with the siren.
Has it been the case though? Maybe my memory. I don't know, but it seems like at times I always grew up, I guess, being able to hear an emergency siren from inside my home, and that maybe it's not so much the case anymore. Am I imagining things, or is it just, or has technology and times changed?
Yeah, and it might depend on, even in Galesburg with the 13 sirens, they're not on a perfect footprint.
Yeah.
They were not all put in at the same time, and we have some at parks, we have some at schools. And if you look at the footprint, there's not all of them that have the same radius. Some of them are bigger sirens.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was here at Park Plaza, we thought was so big, and when we took it down, we found it was actually a smaller siren, one of the smaller sirens we have.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and the newer sirens, of course, have a different mechanism that tends to throw throw it further, but so there's a lot of there's some gaps, no doubt, in town, and occasionally one of the sirens is out. They're based on radio signals, and
I was just going to ask you how that works when it comes time for whatever reason to sound the siren, either for the monthly drill or whatever. How does that work? Do you send a signal from the public safety building or something like that?
Yeah, the signal comes from the radio control of the public safety building that, you know, the emergency management coordinator is supposed to have control of. And if I'm not there and I'm out fishing, the battalion chief, the duty officer will know, to be up there and have his eyes on. And even if the fire department's busy, the police are there. It's in the dispatch center. It's in the police duty officers. It's right under his desk, the control. So, you know, it's not going to go unnoticed just because one person's not in town.
So let's talk about the criteria then for setting off the siren. And I mean, that's why I wanted to have you here, because last night, and if you were listening to our severe weather coverage here on WGIL, you were on the air with us specifically because you were going to sound the sirens, but there wasn't a tornado threat at that time. So what's the line between sounding the sirens and not sounding the sirens?
Okay, well, there's different criteria. For severe weather with the threat of, if it's a tornado situation, we're looking for a tornado warning that's been issued by the National Weather Service. Mm-hmm. And you know that, and sometimes people think, well, you had one for Knox County, why don't you send the siren? Well, if it's aimed at Williams Field, we're not going to sound the siren here. Yeah, so it has to be that Galesburg has to be under the threat of a tornado.
And it's become more, I think, precise over the years at the Weather Service as to how much, if not all of the counties under a tornado warning, because like Monday, for example, as you said, there was a tornado spotted near Williams Field. And you know, you wouldn't sound the siren here for that necessarily, especially if it's going toward Peoria, right?
Right. So it really has to be, and I should back up a second and say that all the different municipalities in the county have their own siren, and they're under the control of the mayor or the fire chief or whatever their local guidelines says, and I don't control those. And I always say, you know, the one at Lake Bracken is actually under the control of the golf pro. So he's the one that has the and now I will say, like, usually if they hear that Galesburg's sounding, because I'm usually in contact with Monmouth on one side to see what they're getting, and then on the other side, like Bob Hennepin in Oneida Watauga or somebody up there, and saying, hey, we're sounding, just letting you know. Sometimes that becomes a domino effect of, well, they sounded, so we're going to sound, and that's fine. But so if we have the National Weather Service tornado warning, we're going to sound if it's for Galesburg. If we have a funnel or cloud or tornado, and the difference is, of course, the funnel cloud's up in the air, and tornado definition is it's touching the ground.
Right.
Okay. So if you get either one of those that's been reported by a trained weather spotter, and sometimes that's a bit iffy. You know, somebody calls in and says they're a spotter. Well, have you had training? We don't go through all those questions. And so it creates a scenario sometimes. It's a bit iffy. Now, the other side of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it must be, before you continue, it must be sort of a fine line between sort of crying wolf and not crying wolf, right?
Well, first of all, you know, I always say we're going to err on the side of sounding.
Of course.
You know, but it's like last night, you know, because the other side of this is if during severe thunderstorms, the criteria is if we have 70 mile an hour winds or greater predicted. I mean, we're not going to wait till we get 70 mile an hour winds to blow the siren because it can be a little late. And the reason 70 mile an hour is important is studies have shown that's when full trees will become uprooted and fall. Like Judge Mangieri had one on his house the other day.
Yeah, that was his house. We saw pictures of some damage there from one of those storms. I didn't realize that was his home. That's unfortunate.
So that's why that criteria is there, because, you know, that's a life safety question when trees are falling. And the other thing is inch and three quarter hail. If we have either one of those, because inch and three quarter hail.
Inch and three quarters, how big?
That's a golf ball.
That's golf ball.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the generic term for that.
Okay.
That will break glass.
Yeah.
So either one of those criteria also, and these are National Weather Service criteria, not Tom Simpkins or Knox County. They're what's the standard criteria that we try to get everybody in the county to kind of go by. So we will sound the siren for either one of those situations. Okay. And of course, if we do get a hazardous materials or an air raid or something like that, some act of terrorism, we'll also blow for that. You know, it might be a sunny day on those.
That's probably another good point, too, before I move on here, that I imagine, and I know you weren't in the job at the time, but I imagine when 9/11 hit, that's probably something a lot of emergency managers kind of had to maybe sit down and maybe do a once over. Think think about how those sirens are used, right?
Yeah, that was obviously a crazy time.
Yeah,
and a lot of these sirens, like in the smaller municipalities, are also their fire siren.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a little bit, you know, and sometimes like we only have the one. It's either long or short, and you can't tell when it goes off. It's going to be the long or the short until it stops. It,
yeah.
You know, the short is for the testing. It's 1 minute long, and the long one for an actual event is 3 minutes long. And
that's another point too. When the siren stops sounding, that doesn't mean the danger's over.
No, we have no all clear signal.
Okay.
And really, if you've gone in and done like we asked and got done with Will Stevenson and WGIL, you'll know what's happening. Because
stop it.
Because, well, and that's the reason I usually alert you before we sound the siren.
Yeah.
Is so that I know you're going to get calls, or I'm hoping you
Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Chief. I'm frankly hoping I never answered. But it does happen. That's true. And, in fact, it happened on Monday. It happened last night, and I imagine will probably continue to happen. One of the things we did last night was when you called and let us know that you were sounding the sirens, we put that out to social media so people would see it. And I saw that where the city social media did too. But I want to read to you a comment from Peg on our Facebook page, and I want you to respond to this. As someone whose house was hit by a tornado as a small child, I was raised to believe that the siren meant that a tornado was imminent. Hearing it instills serious fear in me, as I'm sure it does for many. Apparently, our current city liberals wish to dilute the warning this siren implies, since they seize any opportunity to blow. Allow me to take my news hat off for just a second, Chief, but I find it very hard to believe, and forgive me for saying it this way, I find it hard to believe that you're just going to blow the siren for the hell of it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And not to get into any of the politics, because that doesn't imply. But
I mean, if the siren, but there's a certain amount of truth to this, too. I mean, you should be concerned if the siren is going off, shouldn't you?
Well, you know, I don't disagree with all of what she's saying. I mean, obviously, the siren going off does put fear into people. I get that. And we're not, pardon the pun, but not willy-nilly about it. man, you know, it's always one of those things, Will. It's like the other night, we're sitting there, and we've got the statement from the warning from the National Weather Service, 70-mile-an-hour per. So I actually was on the line. We have a direct line on the StarCom radio that's just like you and I talking.
To the Weather Service.
To the Weather Service, and he said, we're showing you right in the middle of 70. Gelsberg is like the epicenter of 70. Now, we never really got 70 miles.
Well, and that situation was when those warnings started getting issued, they were maybe 60-mile-per-hour gusts, and then I started seeing the potential gusts of 70, and that, you know, that's enough to raise my dander right there.
Yeah, and you know, they've been predicting the 70 mile per hour all day, and also on the radar, we were having a lot of the red signatures prop up around the area. So and those are tornado indicators, or at least cells that are likely to maybe form a tornado. So you had that going on. We got a couple calls from the public about rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not sometimes the magic bullet that that's it. It's kind of a feeling of, okay, it's like now almost at the airport.
Yeah.
What are we going to do here?
Yeah.
And I'm always going to err on the side of sounding. And even after saying that, I think in the last, because even when Chief Craddy was chief, a lot of times I was the one in the center. For the last 16 years, I haven't sounded the siren 8 or 10 times.
Yeah,
so it's not like we do it a lot.
And all the times I've sat here doing severe weather coverage in 17 years, I think I can count on one hand the number of times I heard a siren here when of course it was across the street.
Right.
That's another thing. Sure. I know we talked about this at the time, but the siren here downtown was moved to the to outside the Amtrak depot, right?
That's correct. And the last couple of years, the last 3 or 4 years, we've moved a couple of sirens because of construction. We about 3 or 4 years ago, when they were building Silas Willard School, the new siren was going to be right in the driveway. So we we moved it out. We looked at our footprints and thought, you know, we'd really be better served if we moved it out to Jason Wessels Park. So we took the siren down, and the guys at the station refurbed it and painted it, and we stuck it up on the pole. Mm-hmm. Just recently, when we knew they were going to do, we had the plans for Park Plaza. The siren was going to be right in the new driveway. So,
of course.
So we were asked to relocate it, and we thought, well, you know, the Colton Park down by the depot was actually a better coverage to the east that we were lacking.
Oh, sure.
So it's down there on a pole across the street from where the packing house was.
I'm way beyond time, but that's all right here because I do have some more questions. In terms of sirens, Do you see a need to add more sirens at some point in the city, or do you think the city's, assuming all the sirens are working, do you think the city's pretty well covered at this point?
You know, I think there are a few gaps out there. And just like I had three calls today, people said the sirens weren't working, like at Cook School, at Nielsen, and Knox. Now, sometimes that's true. Sometimes it is that they were inside. You know, so what we will do on Tuesday, the next Tuesday, is send somebody out to those sites when we do the 10 a.m. test just to confirm yes or no. And a lot of times, you know, they're up on a pole.
Yeah.
And Kevin Osborne at Galesburg Communications does a fantastic job of keeping them running, even climbing the 200-foot tower out the, you know, I don't know how he does it, but climbs up there and fixes the repeater.
I don't want to know. I'm afraid of heights. So that's all. Yeah. As long as I'm on terra firma, I'm fine. But
well, we do want to know, though, that if somebody is sure that the siren is not working, even if they're unsure, give us a call. Because they're up on a pole and they're subject to lightning and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, they can have problems.
They should call the public safety building then if they think one's not working.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, and I say for them to call you, because what usually happens is I will tell the gals, the four dispatchers, and I'm like, okay, we're going to set the siren off, get ready, because people will inundate us with calls. What's going on?
Even though the siren goes off routinely at 10 a.m. on the first Tuesday of every month, people still...
Well, I think the usual question is, do we have a tornado? Which is why I've called you.
Yeah.
So that they can turn on the radio to get that.
And I'm glad you do, because we want to get that information out quickly, although, you know, no system is perfect, obviously. But, you know, I was just, frankly, I was kind of surprised at how much people reacted one way or another, where people were insistent that you were supposed to hear the emergency siren in your house, or that, as we said, you were it's only supposed to be used in the event of a tornado and things like that. But it's just an emergency. Okay. Anything else we should know about the system here? I know it's not perfect, but I know it's not something you take lightly either.
No, and I might add, on the social media side, we also have a Knox County Alert Network Facebook site that you can go to, and my secretary and our 911 coordinator try to keep that going when they're not busy doing 15 other things.
Those are things that you've really you've really kind of amped up here in the last couple of years too, haven't you?
Yeah, we're really trying, because I know a lot of people get their news from good or bad, get it from social media.
yeah, that's for sure. So, we tend to, when we can, try to share that information out. So once again, to kind of wrap up, I'm really not so excited about tonight as I am about past nights in terms of severe weather. You think something may happen, but might not be a big deal?
I don't, chances are pretty low tonight, but yeah. I'm done being excited. I
hear that. Although, again, the news right now is there was a tornado touchdown I saw near Decatur. So if you know friends and family down there, check on them for sure. So all right, Fire Chief and Knox County Emergency Management Director Tom Simpkins, thank you for the information. Hopefully we cleared some of this up for folks. I don't know that it makes everybody happy, but at least the truth is out there, as they say.
Well, I guess I'll be back here next year. We'll talk in the same, if I'm, you know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with an annual conversation about this. Although I think you just suggested you won't be here next year, Chief, which I'm really kind of scared about. But, you know.
Wow. You're scared about that. That's too bad.
Hey, well, you know, I have feelings.
Yeah.
Chief Simpkins, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you having us in.